Hello, welcome to the Lewisburg United Methodist Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit lwbumc.com.
Good morning. The scripture comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This idea of peacemakers can be hard because I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I think relationships are complicated. And sometimes there's scenarios and situations that we find ourselves in, and it is difficult to be actively pursuing peace. You may be aware that one of our adult Sunday school classes is using the next several weeks and have been for a while using a book by an attorney by the name of Ken Sandy. And he's also, although he is an attorney, he's the president of Peacemaker Ministries. And I love what he says about peacemakers. He says there's three types of people and we all sort of fall in one of those categories. There's peacemakers, peace breakers, and peace fakers. I want us to look at what that is. Peacemaker means that you are someone that focuses on relationship. And so it's worth it to you to focus so deeply on that relationship that you might give up some of your will because you want peace. Peace breakers is the opposite. They are not always focused on relationship. They're focused on being right. I love the story of these two men that were in the same village and they had a big disagreement. They'd been arguing for a while, and so they decided to go see the village sage, who was the wisest of wise, and get his advice. So the first man went and told him his whole version of the story, and the sage looked at him and said, "You are absolutely right." Well, here comes the second fella who was in the argument, and he tells his long version of what happened in their argument, and the sage looks at him and says, "You are absolutely right." Well, afterwards, the sage's wife scolded her husband and said, "These two men came and they shared very different stories, and you told them both that they were absolutely right. It's impossible. They cannot be absolutely right." The sage turned to his wife and said, "You're absolutely right." Peacebreakers focus on being right. But then there's peace fakers, which is a little trickier. Peace fakers avoid conflict at all costs. They will escape differences. It scares them. Let me give you an example of someone who's a peace faker. If silent treatment is your way to argue, you might be a peace faker. Passive aggressive. If you're someone that holds it all in until you explode, that is a peace faker. Well, we know that Jesus, when he shared this last beatitude, it's the last day of our series. We know that when he asked us to be peacemakers, we know that he was the ultimate peacemaker. And he modeled for us throughout his years of walking on this earth and throughout his ministry, how to be a peacemaker. One of the things that's amazing about Jesus is he was never defensive. He did not focus on his rights. Remember how Paul described him in Philippians chapter 2? You probably are familiar with this verse. He describes Jesus. He says, "Let your attitude be like Jesus. He was God. He did not demand to cling to his rights as God. In fact, he made himself nothing." You know, I want to think of an example of when Jesus lived his life without being defensive. Do you remember, as you think back to the cross, do you remember how horrific that would have been for Jesus or for you to be accused of untruths, to be punished for something that someone else did that you had nothing to do with? Yet Jesus did not become defensive. There's nowhere in the story of the crucifixion, there's no verse that says, "But people, I am God's son, my name is Jesus." There's no scripture verse that says that he is better than anybody else. There's no scripture that says, "Look at all the good things that I've done." In fact, here's some of the things that Jesus said right in the mix of being crucified for other people's sins. He said things like, "Not my will, but thine, Lord, be done." He said things like, "Forgive them because they don't know what it is they're doing." He looked at Judas, who he knew was going to betray him. And he says to Judas, whatever it is that you're about to do, do it quickly. Whew, that is tough. Jesus was a peacemaker, and he chose relationship over his rights. You know, that word defense, when we get defensive, it actually comes from a word that means barrier. It literally comes from the word where fence came from, that we create this chasm between us and someone else, which takes me to a story that may be familiar to you as it is to me. There were two brothers, and they lived on a farm together, and they had been working together side by side for 40 years. One day, they had an argument. They exchanged some bitter words, and then followed by weeks and weeks of silence. One morning, one of the brothers heard a knock on his door, and there on his porch stood an old carpenter who was looking for a few days of work. And he says, I do have a job for you, this brother says. Look across the creek there. Do you see that farm right next to mine? That's my neighbor, who's also my brother. And it used to just be a little creek, and our farms adjoined, but now my brother went and got a bulldozer and dug out that creek so that it is a huge stream to divide us. So I tell you what I want you to build. I want you to build a fence so high that I don't have to look at him another time. The carpenter agreed and said, I'll do a good job for you. And so this brother left for the day. And when he got back and returned at sunset, he looked out in his backyard expecting to see that tall fence. And what did he see but a bridge being built over the creek? It was a beautiful bridge, had handrails and everything, but he was angry that it wasn't a fence. And right when he was getting ready to tell the carpenter, he saw his brother at the adjoining farm walking across the bridge, tears pouring down his face, arms wide open. And he said, brother, I cannot believe the gift that you have given me. I have been foolish, but you took the kind and peaceful step. The brothers asked that carpenter to stay on for a little bit longer and do some more jobs, but this is what that little carpenter said. He said, thank you, I'd love to stay, but there are many more bridges still to be built. Jesus was about relationships over rights. Jesus was about bridges and never fences. Jesus wasn't defensive. He also wasn't into drama. Anybody know someone that's dramatic? Drama queens, as sometimes they are called, are people that want everybody to notice them. Sometimes they love the conflict and start the fights because they just want approval, and so they've got to get as many people as they can to agree with them and to get on their side. They love the drama. People were constantly trying to draw Jesus into their drama, and Jesus would not ever enter it. I'll give you an example of a story. Remember the day that Jesus was on break? He was having a day to himself with just he and his disciples, and they decided to stroll the countryside, and the disciples got hungry. And so the disciples decided to break off a few pieces of grain on a field and put them in their mouth and enjoy a snack as they spent time together and relaxing. Well, the Pharisees were watching, and they approached Jesus and his disciples, and they said to them, "You are working and harvesting on the Sabbath day." Now, Jesus could have become annoyed. I can think of a lot of good, sarcastic comments that I would like to say. But instead, you know what Jesus said? He went to the hearts of those men. He did not address their ego, which is where drama comes from. He went straight to the heart, and he said this, "The Sabbath was made for man, and man was not made for the Sabbath." I'm so thankful that we have a God who goes to the heart of our matters. You know, if you pulled back the curtain on drama, what is behind there is competition. Someone trying to one-up another person. Yet that is not who God is. His nature even tells us something about how he wants us to cooperate. In Kenya, there was a gentleman who had gone to have a visit there, and as soon as his airplane landed, his guide said, "Look at the beautiful zebras and the wildebeest. They travel together." So sure enough, the guy's looking, and here they are kind of migrating together across the land. His guide said, "You know what's amazing? They travel together even though they're different, because the zebras have good eyesight, but they have a very poor sense of smell. And the wildebeest, they have great eyesight. They have bad eyesight, excuse me, but a really great sense of smell. They travel together, and then they're less vulnerable to predators. God reminds us that there's something really important here. We need one another more than we need drama or more than we need to be right. We find blessing when we cooperate together. When we can learn how to honor each other's gifts and differences and allow God to let them be used the way they were designed to be used without competition, without judgment, without fighting, we experience the blessing of God. Jesus wasn't defensive, he wasn't into drama, and he also did not let dust stay on his sandals. Remember the verse that Jesus said, "If anyone refuses to welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your sandals as you leave." Sometimes there are situations where we have to just let go and shake the dust off our sandals. Some things in life will never be understood. They just don't make sense. And so we have to trust and walk with Jesus. I was in a yoga class a couple of years ago, and this particular teacher decided to use a microphone like the one I have on my ear. And so as he is telling us to quiet ourselves and center ourselves and do some deep breathing, I always love the beginning of yoga class to help me calm down and be in the moment. This student beside me yells out, "How big is this room?" Well, you know, you're trying to do your breathing, and all of a sudden I kind of catch my breath, and he says, "Do you really need a microphone?" My yoga breathing went to like, what is going on? I don't say anything, and the teacher just calmly says, "Yes, I do need a microphone because I talk for 4 hours a day, and it saves my voice." The student doesn't stop. He yells out, "Talk less. We're not interested." I have no more yoga breath. I'm out. I want to exit the room. I was so thankful that the teacher did not enter this drama and chose to shake the dust off his sandals by saying this, "I don't know what to tell you. This is just me, and this is the class that I teach, and you don't have to take this class." The student piped down. "You know, that teacher taught me something that day. He could have let it escalate, but he recognized that what that man was saying to him was really not about him. You know, when someone attacks you critically, they don't really hate you. They hate what is ever in them that is at unrest. Something within them is not settled. And so they shout at you, but it's not really about you." Also, that teacher taught me that day what it means to really let go. He chose to not allow those comments or those words to attach themselves to him. This teacher could have allowed his ego and his pride, and he could have fought back because he had every right. But he walked away, shook the dust off his sandals without ever moving his body. Remember what Paul said? Your attitude should be like that of Jesus. Though he was God, he did not demand to cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. And then you know what God did, it says in the next verse? Then God raised him up and gave him a name above every name. Peacemaking takes practice. Jesus knows your world. He knows it's imperfect. He knows that person that is raking on your nerves, yet he still calls us to continue the spiritual practice of peacemaking. At the very end of the Beatitudes, Jesus says these final words. "Blessed are you when people insult you. Blessed are you when you are persecuted and falsely said all things of evil against you. Rejoice, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." See, it's just like Paul said. When Jesus said, "I am nothing," God gave him a name above every name. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Amen.
You moved on the waters, you called to the deep. Then you coaxed up your mountains from the valleys so deep. And over the eons, you called to each thing. Awake from your slumbers and rise on your wings. Spirit, Spirit, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit, wind on the sea. You swept through the desert, you stung out with the sand, and you goaded your people with the law and the land. And when they were blinded with idols and lies, then you spoke through your prophets to open their eyes. Spirit, Spirit, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit, wind on the sea. You sang in a stable, you cried from a hill. Then you whispered in silence when the whole world was still. And down in the city, you called once again when you blew through your people on the rush of a wind. Spirit, Spirit, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit, wind on the sea. You call from tomorrow, you break ancient schemes. From the bondage of sorrow, all the captives dream dreams. And our women see visions, and our men clear their eyes. With bold new decisions, your people arise. Spirit, Spirit, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit, wind on the sea. Spirit, Spirit, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit, wind on the sea. Wind on the sea.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from the Lewisburg United Methodist Church. We pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lwbumc.com.